Today I'll be in the book of Matthew, so if you have your Bible today, open up to Matthew chapter 10. We'll be looking at verse 7. Matthew chapter 10, verse 7. And as you're turning there this morning, by the way, Matthew chapter 10, Matthew's the first book of the New Testament, so not too hard to find, but Matthew chapter 10, verse 7. So as you're turning there this morning, I have to ask you a question. Have you ever received a phone call that just changed things for you in an instant?
Yeah.
You ever receive one of those phone calls that just changed everything in an instant? Now, they can be great news, like a family member calling you and say, "Hey, guess what? I'm engaged." I'm waiting for that call, Lee. It could be your daughter.
No pressure.
It could be your daughter taking your family to lunch and saying, "Dad, Mom, I have great news. My husband and I, we're having a baby." It could be great news like that. It might even be news where you get a phone call from a potential employer, somebody you interviewed with, and they say, "Hey, guess what? You got the job." Man, what great news that would be. But you know, there's also phone calls. That can change your life in the moment of an instant that are bad news. Like if you have a loved one who's on their way to Texas and their transmission blows up. Sorry, that was targeted towards a family in the church. Or if you have a family member that's in an accident. How often do you worry about that? Or what if you get a phone call like the phone call that Brother Ron had this morning? That his granddaughter, who was pregnant with a child, the baby had passed away. It's interesting how one call, one quick phone call, can change everything in your life. Last night at 9:30 p.m., I received a call that changed my entire evening. A call that would end up testing my faith and really pushing me to trust in the Lord for the message that I'm giving you today. Now, many of you know that throughout the week, I study, I write Bible studies, I visit people, I witness, I do all these different things. But normally I write messages and I pray, "God, just show me what you want me to share with the people." And so I start down and I usually write two or three different sermons by the time you hear something on Sunday. But you know, this week was a little bit different because I didn't work on a sermon this week. What I worked on was spending more time visiting people, witnessing to people. I even went to this International Gideon's Pastor's Banquet, where I worshiped and sang hymns with over 1,000 different people from over 90 different countries. It was awesome. But you know what I didn't do this week is I didn't prepare to preach a message to you. Why didn't I? Well, because the Torres family was coming to give you a Southern Gospel concert. Well, I got a call at 9:30. And I talked to the leader and he said, "Well, Pastor, I'm really sorry. We got our wires crossed somehow, but I'm in Junction City. We're having a meeting here with the church, and we're coming to your church at 6 p.m. tonight." I said, "Oh." He said, "Is that okay?" Well, I guess so. I mean, it'll be okay. And I'm thinking to myself, it's 9:30 at night on Saturday. I don't have a sermon. There's a lot of people that are going to come to hear some great music. They saw the advertisements. They've been invited by friends. Lord, if I can't give them the music in the morning, at least I can give them a well-prepared message, but now I don't even have that. So, Lord, what am I going to do? And then for an instant I thought, well, maybe I could do a hymn sing service. Yeah, that's it. We can sing hymns. It'll be perfect. And then as I was praying about it, I heard, "Nope. Not what God wanted." And I said, "Okay, God, how about this? How about a personal testimony service? We can have people, I mean, they can testify how you changed their lives." Nope. That wasn't it either. So I was frustrated. My Bible was closed. I went downstairs to my office and I put my arms over my Bible and I just started praying. "God, I don't know what to do. I'm fully trusted in you. Lord, what am I going to do tomorrow?" And then what happened was he revealed this verse of scripture to me in 2 Timothy chapter 4, 2 through 5. And here's what God told me to do today. It says, preach the word. Be prepared, whether the time is favorable or not. Patiently correct, rebuke, and encourage your people with good teaching. Because a time is coming when people will no longer listen to sound and wholesome teaching. They will follow their own desires. And they'll look for teachers who will tell them whatever their itching ears want to hear. The people will reject the truth and chase after myths. But you should keep a clear mind in every situation. Don't be afraid of suffering for the Lord. Work at telling others the good news and fully carry out the ministry that God has given you. That is the message the Lord gave me last night in my despair. What an encouraging message. So you know what I'm going to do today? We're not going to have a hymn service. We're not going to have a personal testimony service. Just like Paul told Timothy, I'm going to preach. Amen? Amen. I'm going to preach the Word of God, so be prepared, whether the time is favorable or not. Because it's time to patiently correct, rebuke, and encourage you people with good teaching. Because you know what? There's going to be a time coming when people will no longer listen to the sound doctrine and wholesome teaching. They'll follow their own desires and go to wherever their itching ears want to hear. So today, I'm going to preach. We're not chasing after myths. We're not singing hymn services. We're not having personal testimonies. We're preaching the word that God laid on my heart. Amen. If you want to hear the word of God today, let me hear you say amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right. Out of all the verses in the Bible, I said, God, that's great. You want me to preach. Perfect. So what am I going to preach about? And I felt like I was running on thin air because God had already answered one prayer in about 10 seconds. So I'm like, come on, Lord, the prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And so he gave me this, Matthew chapter 10, verse 7. And that's what I'm going to preach to you on today. God's word says this. It says, and as you go, preach, saying the kingdom of heaven is near. As you go, preach, saying the kingdom of heaven is near. In this passage of scripture, Jesus is calling 12 disciples to extend his mission. Jesus is going to go on soon. He's going to die on the cross. He's going to be nailed to the cross for your sins and for my sins soon. And so he's told these disciples, you've got to go out and heal people. You've got to cast out the demons. You've got to go out and preach that the kingdom of heaven is near. And so Jesus, he trained these people. He taught them about the kingdom of God. And of course they know that he was fully God and he was fully man. And he knew, these people knew, that he would be the ultimate sacrifice for their sins. So Jesus calls these guys. He calls Simon Peter. He calls Andrew. He calls James and Philip, Bartholomew, Thomas, Matthew, and James the son of Alphaeus, Thaddeus, Simon the Zealot, and Judas Iscariot. He says, you got to get out there and you got to preach the word. You got to reach the people. You've got to tell them the kingdom of God is near. You know, the word of God is an amazing thing. In Isaiah 55, it says, the word of the Lord will not return void. So the information I'm going to be sharing with you today is going to be a seed. A seed that I hope is planted in your heart. And I hope that grows as it's watered and turns into something beautiful. And I hope you see how God can change your life just the same way that he changed my life. Now here in this scripture, we're told the kingdom of heaven is near. And folks, I believe God is knowing, all knowing. I believe he knows that is true and that day is coming before we know it. There's no time to mess around. We're not promised tomorrow. That little baby who passed away, she didn't know what tomorrow would bring. Holly, if you've been on our prayer list and you saw her, she was a great person doing great things. All of a sudden got into a car accident. Husband died. And she died days later. We're not promised tomorrow. All we have is today. All we have is this moment. The kingdom of heaven is closer than it's ever been. Folks, there's no time to mess around anymore. It's time to do a spirit check. It's time to do some soul searching and find out whether or not you'll be going to heaven when that time comes.
You see, the truth of the scriptures are coming true. We can see terrible things happening in the news. We can see morals are being sacrificed everywhere. And on top of all that, we're close to maybe coming on our third world war. I have a daughter in Australia working in South Korea to help prevent some of these things in the U.S. military. Folks, we live in perilous times. Now, I don't want to discourage you today, but I want you to face the music and understand just how serious this is. I believe God gave me this message because there's somebody in here that needs to know today is the day of salvation. You can't wait any longer. Listen to what 2 Timothy 3:1 through 4 says. It says, but mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy. People will be without love. They will be unforgiving and slanderous. They'll be without self-control, brutal, not lovers of good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Do you see that in our society today?
Yes.
I see it too. And folks, I don't want to sugarcoat this message. This is serious stuff. The kingdom of heaven is near. Do you know if you'll go there when you pass away? Do you know if your family will go there or your friends when they pass away? You see, Jesus came to seek and to save those that are lost. That's the whole reason he came. He did a lot of other things, but that's why he came. So do you know Jesus today? I'm not asking, do you know about Jesus? You see, because you can know about a lot of people and not know them. I know about Michael Jordan. I grew up in Chicago. I like basketball. Michael Jordan was on every advertisement. I watched several of his games, but you know what? I never knew him. I never met him. I never had a personal relationship with him. I knew about him. One of my favorite presidents was Abraham Lincoln and George Washington. I've read all kinds of books about those two presidents. But you know, I don't know them. I didn't personally have a relationship with them. So it's not enough to know about Jesus. You have to know him. So I'm asking you today, do you know him as your friend? Do you know him as your personal Lord and Savior? And the reason I ask that, folks, is because that's the only way you're getting to heaven. There's no other way. There's no other path. Now, you might think I'm narrow-minded, I'm a bigot or something else, but I believe what God's Word says in John 14:6. It says, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. Folks, Jesus is not a way to heaven. He's not one of many ways to heaven. He is the way to heaven. The only way, amen?
Amen.
And so if you're anywhere else, you're missing the mark. No one, regardless of your reputation, your achievements, your special knowledge, your personal holiness, none of that stuff is going to get you there. I don't care that if your grandmother is a Christian, if your mom is a Christian, if your dad is a Christian, that's not going to get you there either. The only thing that's going to get you there is a personal relationship with our Lord and Savior. And if you know you're not promised tomorrow, why are you messing around? You wouldn't play with something as important as your bill money for the next day. But you'll play with something much more important than that. Your life everlasting. As long as you live. Don't take that risk. You know, people think, well, if I do enough good things, God is a good God and he'll take me to heaven. That's a lie. God is a good God, but he's not taking you to heaven because you do good things. You see, you could be a terrible person. You could be a murderer. Fill in the blank. You'll still go to heaven if you believe in Jesus as your Lord and Savior. We have to get serious about our relationship with God. You can do all the good works in the world. You could change all the tires you want. You could buy all the groceries for somebody you want. You could help all the people you want across the street. But you know what? That's not going to get you into heaven. Only a personal relationship with the Lord is going to get you into heaven. Ephesians 2:8 and 9 says, for it is by grace that you have been saved, through faith. And this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. Folks, Jesus loves you. He wants you to be with Him in heaven for eternity. But the decision is completely up to you. He created you as a human, a beautiful human, with a smart mind, able to think and make decisions. And at the end of the day, you can say yes, or you can say no. It's completely up to you. But I want you to know today what the Scripture says. It says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whosoever believes in Him shall not perish but have everlasting life." Think about this for a minute before I continue. Would you want your child to pay the price for your sin? If you lied to somebody, if you stole something from somebody, if you lost your temper with somebody, would you want your child to die for your sin? I wouldn't. But that's what Jesus did. Do you know why? Because He loves you. Listen to the word. It says, "For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through Him. Whoever believes in Jesus is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already because they haven't believed in the name of God's one and only Son." This is serious stuff, folks. Eternity is a long time. You may have seen it on a church sign before, kind of making fun of it a little. It says, "Where do you want to spend your eternity? Smoking or not smoking?" Kind of funny, but something to think about. Yeah. At the end of the day, there's only two places you can go, heaven or hell. Listen to what verse 18 says again, and ask yourself, which place are you going to? "Whoever believes in Jesus is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son." Now, I don't want to frighten anybody, but I do want to tell you this, because you may never hear it again. No one else in the world may love you enough to tell you that you're only going one of two places. No one else might love you enough because they might be worried it might hurt your relationship with them. You might not be their friend anymore. You see, you can talk about movies, cars, racing, sports, whatever you want, and that's okay. But when you get down to talking about Jesus, people either are embracing you and excited to hear about it, or people don't want anything to do with you. And so for that reason, people may never tell you about how to get to heaven, because they don't want to offend you. They don't want to hurt your feelings. Folks, I love you, and that's why I want to tell you. You have one choice that's more important than anything else in your life. And you have to make it. Nobody else can make it for you. I believe in what it says in 2 Timothy 1:7. God didn't give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power and love. And that's why I'm sharing it with you. I want to see every single person in this sanctuary in heaven someday. I want to see you lifting your arms. I want to see you singing, "Lord, I need you." I want to hear you doing all those things in heaven. Heaven is a place where there's no tears, no pain, no suffering. You get a new body and you're with your Lord and Savior who created you. What more could you want in life? It's simple. But yet our minds make it so hard. And so I have to tell you, the kingdom of heaven is near. Will you be going? 2 Corinthians 6:2 says, "Today is the day of salvation. There's no time to waste." And so today, if you don't know without 100% confidence that you're going to heaven, then what are you waiting for? You see, you can wait to cut the grass for another day. You can wait to wash the dishes another day. You can wait to take out the trash another day. But you can't wait to make this decision. Today is the day of salvation. Now, I know there's people in our congregation today that haven't made a decision to follow Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And I know there's people in our congregation today that are thinking, if I die, will I go to heaven? I know there's people that don't know 100% sure that they're going to heaven. I know there's people in our congregation today that have family members that they've asked me to pray for that they know aren't going to heaven. They don't know Jesus. Folks, it really is as simple as this. 1 John 5:12 says, whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. And so I have to ask you again, do you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior? It really is a yes or no answer. There is no in between. So maybe you're here today and you're saying, I know Jesus is real. He's answered my prayers. He showed me He's real. I want to make Jesus my Lord and Savior. I want to go to heaven. But you know what? Nobody's ever told me how. I don't know how to get to heaven, Pastor. I don't want to go anywhere else. I got a grandmother who loved the Lord. She's in heaven. I've got maybe a dad or a daughter that's in heaven. I want to be there. But I don't know how to get there. So I want to tell you today. But here's the thing. Once you hear the Word of God, you're accountable for it. So the things you hear today, you're accountable for. This is how you get to heaven, folks. First, you got to humble yourself. You got to accept that you're a sinner. The truth is, none of us are perfect. We've all made mistakes. Your parents, your brother and sister, your family members, even your pastor. I'm not perfect. None of us are perfect. And so the first thing is just that simple. Admitting, God, I am not perfect. I've done some bad things in my life. I know right from wrong, but I've done some wrong things on purpose. God, I haven't been the best that I could be, Lord. The Bible tells us in Romans 3:23, it says, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That means every single one of us in this room. So the first thing you got to do is just admit. You've made a mistake. You've done some things that are wrong. The second thing you have to do, believe that Jesus died for our sins and He rose from the dead. Romans 5:8 says, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You see, we were dead in our sins. Once you sin one time, I don't care how old you are, once you sin one time, it's over. You're not perfect. You're not even born from a perfect seed. So you just can't be perfect. And once you do that, it's over. The Bible says that the wages of sin are death, but the gift of God is everlasting life. And so, the first thing you got to admit, you're a sinner. The second thing, you got to believe that Jesus is the one who came and died on the cross for your sins. He's the one who took your place so that you don't have to suffer. And the third thing is simple. All you have to do is call upon the name of the Lord to be saved. Romans 10:9-10 puts it like this. If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, and you believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. For it's with your heart you believe and are justified, and it's with your mouth that you are confessed and you are saved. So that's it, guys. Admit that you're a sinner. There are some things you've done wrong in your life. You need God's help. Believe that Jesus is who He says He is. That He lived here and He died here for your sins. And then the third thing is just ask Him to come into your heart and be your Lord and Savior. That's all there is to it. We make it too complicated. So I'm going to tell you again, the kingdom of heaven is near. Your eternity is at stake. Don't take a chance on waiting till tomorrow, because you might not have tomorrow. You know how many people in the world thought they had tomorrow? Over 178 people died yesterday. Oh, really? They probably thought they had another day. Folks, we don't know what tomorrow brings. Don't play with your eternity. If you don't know Jesus is your Lord and Savior, you need to make that decision now. You need to come to the altars and make that decision now. Don't wait any longer. I don't know what you've been waiting for anyway. You've seen Jesus help your family. You've seen Jesus answer your prayers. Isn't it time that you call on Him to be your Lord and Savior? Maybe you're here and you're a Christian, but you've been too scared to share the gospel, the message of salvation, the ones with you love. You've been too scared to share it. And now you realize, man, the pastor is right. The kingdom of heaven is near. Time is running out. Why don't you come up here today and surround these altars and pray for those people in your family that don't know the Lord. Pray for them. Maybe you're here and you used to be close to God, but something happened and now you started drifting away. You don't know how it took place, but all of a sudden it's gone. You're like, God, you said you'd never leave me nor forsake me, but I don't feel you. Maybe it's because you got away from the Lord yourself. God told me to tell you, the kingdom of heaven is near. And now it's up to you. You have that simple decision to make. You can say, yes, Lord, I've made some mistakes in my life. I've done some things that I'm not proud of. I need your help, Lord. You can believe in God. I believe you are who you said you are. And you can come down and you can say, Jesus, will you come and be my Lord and Savior? If you want to come today, come to these altars. Give your life to the Lord. Don't wait any longer. You don't know what tomorrow brings. If you're here today and you got a family member that doesn't know the Lord as their Savior, I want you to come up right now, even as I'm talking. Come on up here and pray for them. They need to know the Lord. It's the only way to heaven. Let's bow our heads and go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Lord in heaven, God, as people come, Lord, I pray, God, you'd speak to hearts, Lord, like never before in our church, God. I pray that you would call groves and groves of people to come and to pray for their family members, to pray for their friends who don't know you. God, I pray that people would come down and make a decision, Lord, that would change their life forever, God. There's no more time to waste. The kingdom of heaven is near, Lord. God, work in our hearts today. Spirit, speak over us, Lord. God, do your ministry work. You came in to call those who were lost, Lord. God, we're in a hospital, and Lord, we need your help today. Speak to us as we pray, Lord.